From the School of Communication at Loyola University Chicago, this is Q&A with Jill Geisler.
Hi there. Good to be with you again. Here's the question. How can I improve my team's diversity? And here's the answer. You improve it by approaching it on two levels. The first is strategic, and the second is tactical. Now, let me define strategic. Unless you look at diversity as a business value, it'll be seen as something optional, not an imperative. It's easier than ever to make the business case for diversity. In fact, a 2015 McKinsey & Company report called Diversity Matters finds that companies with more diverse workforces have better bottom lines. The report has lots of data to back that up, too. You can look it up, Diversity Matters by McKinsey & Company, and let me quote here. More diverse companies, we believe, are better able to win top talent, improve their customer orientation, satisfaction, and decision-making, and that all leads to a virtuous cycle of increasing returns, unquote. Or let me point you to a 2014 piece in Scientific American called How Diversity Makes Us Smarter. That piece does a roundup of research on decision-making and diversity. The writer, Catherine W. Phillips, is herself a research scientist, and here's the big finding of the piece. Quote, decades of research by organizational scientists, psychologists, sociologists, economists, and demographers show that socially diverse groups, that is, those with a diversity of race, gender, and sexual orientation, are more innovative than homogeneous groups. Again, that's from Scientific American. So let's agree that we can make the business case. That's why it becomes part of your strategy. Yes, it's the right thing to do morally and ethically, but it's also good business. Now you, as a leader, embed diversity in your planning, your goal setting, and your priorities. You, as a leader, make it a common part of your vision of what's expected, what's the norm, and what success looks like. To give you an example of diversity as strategy, let me get personal. I teach an ethics course to students at Loyola University of Chicago School of Communication. Some are studying journalism, others advertising, public relations, marketing, and some come from other disciplines just to study the ethics of communication. As I planned that curriculum, I intentionally introduced diversity into the second class of the semester. I wanted the students to start thinking about diversity in the same conversations they have about accuracy, completeness, communicating in context. Now, that can't happen if some voices and perspectives are left out of the messages, or some people never get to be the messenger. So diversity as part of ethical decision-making was the strategy, and then the course itself and the way I taught it, that was the tactics. Strategy is big picture thinking. Tactics, making it tangible, measurable, and actionable. So what kind of tactics help make your team more diverse? Here's a list for you. Number one, don't hire in your own image. Research says that we are biased in favor of people who remind us of us. You've got to get out of that comfort zone. Number two, recruit when you're not hiring. Have a diverse field of candidates in the pipeline. That takes commitment. Too many managers scramble when there's an opening, and they choose in haste because recruiting takes too long, and therefore they miss a chance to diversify the team, or if they do, they pick the candidate who's handy, not necessarily the one who's the most likely to succeed. Number three, if you can, offer paid internships. Unpaid internships give an edge to young people who can afford not to work, whose families can subsidize them. That's unfair to those who can't, and they'll miss the potential door to your organization and your team. Number four, rethink what you and your colleagues really mean when you say that you hire for fit. If it means sharing your company's business values and your ethics, great. But if it means we all love sports and this candidate likes chess, or we get together after work and this candidate has three kids, probably won't fit in, or we're kind of a low-key bunch, this person's pretty high energy, I don't know, then stop. Ask yourself if your sense of fit is unfairly and unwisely excluding good candidates. Similarly, Ask yourself what your organization means, really means, by paying your dues. You know, we want somebody to pay his dues before getting hired or promoted. I have to tell you a story. One newspaper editor told me this in a seminar. He said the paper couldn't understand why it struggled to keep employees of color. They seemed to leave not that long after they were hired. And when they finally at the paper took a step back, they realized that for as long as they could remember, this mostly white organization believed that reporters, quote, paid their dues by starting in small news bureaus, usually housed in small towns. After they got their start there, paying their dues, the reporters could then transfer to the big city newsroom, the home base. But those small towns could be isolated for any reporters, but even worse for reporters of color. If the towns were all white, then not always hospitable, and things as simple as getting a good haircut could be a challenge for an employee of color. When the paper rethought ways to redefine what paying your dues really meant, how to work hard, how to learn, how to get experience, they discovered there were plenty of other ways to prove someone's worth on a level playing field. And that's where you come in. As the leader, you're that leveler. With the right strategy and tactics, you'll reap the business benefits of a diverse team. That's Q&A for today. I'm Jill Geisler.